Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is another in the series looking at the global impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And in today's video, I want to talk about what's happening with commodity prices. So if you follow the channel, you know that I post videos on a regular basis. Most days I've got a new upload and we're following the price of oil and natural gas and wheat and minerals and metals. And the problem when you follow things on a daily basis is that you can get a little bit too obsessed with what's happening on a short-term basis. So prices might jump 20% one day, and then the next day there's a report in the press saying prices have fallen 5%. And so everybody says, oh, what's the problem? Prices are coming back down again. We don't need to worry anymore. But you need to take a step back and look at what's happening in the bigger picture. And that's what I want to do in this video today. I want to have a look at all of the key commodity prices and look at how they've been moving over the last 5 years and then particularly over the last 12 months. Because the important thing for the global economy is what's happening over that medium term trend. Because price rises over the medium term will have a long lasting impact. We always see fluctuations in price. And recently we actually saw nickel being suspended in the markets because the price had shot up so high in one day, mainly because there was a lot of traders who had to cover their positions. And so it caused an unusual spike. So the daily fluctuations aren't really the news story here. The news story is what's happening generally to prices and what impact will that have on your everyday life? Because as the price of everything goes up, then that feeds through into your budget, leaves you with less cash, and therefore that's what puts people into difficulty and is eventually going to cause a recession. So that's what I want to do today. I want to take a step back, have a look at what's been happening to all of these commodity prices, and then at the end of this video, I'll give you a summary as to what I think the likely impact of all of this is. And in order to keep this video to a reasonable length, I've had to pick out some key commodities. So whenever I post a video, there's always somebody making a comment about why didn't you include this or why didn't you include that? Well, the main reason is that I've only got a limited amount of time. So I have to pick out the things that I think are the most important. So in today's video, I'm going to start with oil because I think that's absolutely the most important commodity globally. We'll then move on to talk about natural gas and coal. And one of the things that I've learned since the Russian invasion started is how dependent the global economy still is on fossil fuels. There's certainly been a lot of progress over the last few years in terms of a move towards renewable energy, but we're just not there yet. We can't depend on renewable energy to keep the lights on in all the countries around the world. So everybody is still hooked on fossil fuels, and that's why I've picked those three commodities to start with. I'll then go on to talk about wheat because the global food chain is also a really important part of the economy. And wheat prices have been moving around a lot recently. And then finally, I have a look at iron ore, which is the raw ingredient used to make steel, and lumber, timber prices. So before I get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, I would really appreciate it. And also please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I include chapters in my videos. So if there's a section that you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it and move on to the next. The whole world is still entirely dependent upon oil in one form or another. And when you hear economists and journalists talking about oil, I think most people think about gasoline. They think about what you put into your car to power it to drive around everywhere. But as well as transport, oil is also used for heating, and the petrochemical industry supplies so many sectors with the raw material to make products. So this graphic provides an interesting breakdown of the average percentage usage of a barrel of oil. So you can see that around 2/3 of all oil is used for vehicle transport purposes, but 15% is used as feedstock and for making other petroleum and petrochemical products that are used in medical supplies, pharmaceuticals, and tech. Roughly 10% is used for jet fuel, and the remaining 10% is used to make a variety of products such as rubber, asphalt, lubricants, wax, cosmetics, paint thinner, and much, much more. So when we talk about the price of oil and the impact on the economy, it's not just transport that we're talking about. It feeds through into a variety of other sectors. So we've been talking a lot on this channel about the impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on oil prices. And we've seen oil prices go to levels that haven't been seen for around 10 years. At one point during the early stages of the invasion, we saw the price of Brent crude get up to $139. And those sort of headlines send shockwaves all around the world, and we saw the stock markets nosediving. However, a few days later, the price starts to stabilize, it comes back down, and everybody goes back to normal as if nothing happened. So in order to take a step back from looking down the microscope at what's happening on a daily or an hourly basis, let's have a look at what's happened to oil prices over the last 5 years. This chart shows the price of Brent crude, and you can see that the average price over the last 5 years has been somewhere in the region of $65. So you can see that 5 years ago, the price of a barrel of Brent crude was around about $50, and we saw a steady increase all the way through to 2018. Then we saw a decline, then prices came back, were relatively stable for a year or so. Then we saw a big drop in prices when the pandemic kicked in and demand for oil fell because everybody was in lockdown, nobody was using their cars, there were no planes flying anywhere. So we saw a real fall in demand. And then since the pandemic has ended, we have seen a steady increase in the price of oil. There have been some movements and fluctuations here and there, but generally when you look at the trend, going back from April 2020, there has been a steady increase and quite a sharp increase compared to the shape of the graph for the rest of this period. But if we look at the average position over the last 5 years, you can see that the average rate that oil has been trending at is around about $65 per barrel. So if we now move forward and have a look at the 1 year movement, we can see that a year ago, the price was sitting at about the average rate of $65. But since that time, there has been a progressive increase in the price of oil. And where we are now is somewhere above $100 per barrel. Now, it's obviously been much higher over the last couple of weeks and is now starting to come down. But we are seeing the price swing around quite violently, depending on what the news is coming out of Ukraine. Now, the invasion of Ukraine started on the 24th of February. So if we look at the price at that time, it was $83 per barrel, which is around 27% higher than the 5 year average that we've just looked at. And because oil is so important to the global economy, a 27% increase in its price would have a massive impact on inflation all around the world. And the movement that we've seen in oil prices over the last 12 months directly relates to the high levels of inflation that we are seeing in every country around the world. So jumping back to the 5 year view, it doesn't really matter whether the price of oil is $100, $110 or $90. It's irrelevant. The message that I'm trying to get across to you here is that the long-term average for oil has been somewhere in the region of $65. So if the price of oil is now going to stay significantly higher than $65, that is a major problem for the world economy. So it doesn't really matter if we see a 1% fall or a 1% rise on a daily basis. That's not going to change the big picture and what's going to happen. If prices are going to sit above $80 or $90 or $100, that is a big issue for everybody because it means that we've got long-term price inflation. It's going to be here to stay, and that will feed through into all of those different sectors that I talked about at the start of this presentation. So it's not just about how much it costs to fill your car to go to work and back. It'll be about what's happening in transportation costs because the wagons are all using diesel to transport all of our goods and services. What's happening in medical supplies? What's happening with anything that needs to use rubber or lubricants? What's happening with fertilizer? So there is a whole lot of knock-on implications from a high price of oil. And what we're seeing over the last 12 months or so, we have seen a significant shift in the price of oil. And that's likely to stay around because what we've got in the global economy right now is a dislocation of Russia. And Russia is one of the biggest exporters of oil globally. And a lot of countries are now wanting to move away from buying oil from Russia. So they're having to source it from other places. And that has driven up prices. And it's likely that that dislocation will keep prices high, irrespective of what happens in Ukraine. Even if there is a peace treaty signed tomorrow, it's not going to bring the price of oil back down to $65 per barrel. It's going to stay up at $80, $90, $100 for a long period of time, possibly the whole of 2022. And if that happens, we've got major problems in the global economy. Natural gas is another fossil fuel that is found under the Earth's core, and it's become very popular over the last 30 or 40 years because it's a cleaner form of energy compared to coal. So when power stations were first created, everybody was using coal, but then we saw that there were a lot of emissions and a lot of problems. So scientists developed a new way of creating electricity using natural gas. And these power stations proved to be very popular because it was cheaper and cleaner and more efficient than using coal. So a lot of countries around the world have built natural gas power stations, and we are now dependent on that for producing electricity. In addition, a lot of countries also pipe natural gas into households, and in a lot of countries, it's the main form of household heating. Russia is the world's largest exporter of natural gas, and it's laid a variety of pipelines all across Europe that supply various countries. So it directly supplies Turkey and Poland and Italy and Germany, and supplies around 40% of all of the natural gas that's purchased in Europe. Since the invasion of Ukraine started, the price of natural gas has risen dramatically. Now, this chart shows the price of Dutch natural gas because I think it's more representative to show the European prices here. This is the market that's being most affected by what's happening in Ukraine. So if I firstly look at what the 12-month position is, this time last year, the price of natural gas was trading at around about 20 euros. And we can see that there was a steady increase up to around August 2021. And then from that period onwards, we have seen quite dramatic movements in the price. And at one point during the start of the problems, we saw prices rise up to 192 euros. Now, they've come back down to somewhere in the region of 100 euros, but that still represents around a 500% increase over the last 12 months. Now, if we shift and have a look at the five-year position, you can see that the average price over the last 5 years has been less than 20 euros. And in fact, from 2018 onwards, we saw a downward trend in the price of natural gas. So for a period of time in 2020, it was actually trading for less than 10 euros. So when you compare that to the current level of somewhere in the region of 100 euros, you're looking at a 10 times increase over the last 18 months or so. So jumping back to the 12-month view, what we had a year ago is that prices were trading at their normalized levels. That's what everybody was expecting. Where we are now is off the scale compared to 20 euros. If we look at the price on the 21st of February, it was trading at 74 euros. Now that is more than 3.5 times the long-term average over the last 5 years. So a 350% increase is huge. And the main problem that we've got here is that most of Europe is entirely dependent on natural gas for the production of electricity and also for heating houses. So this is absolutely essential to most budgets. So a 350% increase is unsustainable. And that's where we were before this crisis started. We're now above 100. And at one point, we were above 200. Now, those levels are at breaking points. If we were to see natural gas go to 200 on a long-term basis, that would be a 10 times increase in the utility costs for most people. Nobody could afford that. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that you can see a headline that might say that natural gas prices have fallen 50% because they've come down from 200 euros to 100 euros. Now that would make you believe that everything's fine and actually there's been a huge fall in the price of natural gas. But that isn't the takeaway. The takeaway here is that the long-term price of natural gas was 20 euros. Where we are now is above 100 euros. But even if it comes back down from that level, it's likely to settle at somewhere around 60 or 70 euros because that's where it's been trading since November. And at that level, it's still more than 3 times the long-term average and therefore is going to cause major problems in the economy. Coal still makes up an important part of the power supply in the whole of the world. Everybody wants to move away from coal and to stop using it, But for the next 10, 20 or 30 years, it's likely that coal will still be used in most countries around the world. And actually, what we've seen from the Russian crisis is that some countries, such as Germany, are now considering whether or not they should reactivate some of their coal-fired power stations because they want to move away from Russian natural gas, and it's the easiest way to switch capacity back on. And if we look at the five-year chart for coal, we can see that from 2018 through to the autumn of 2020, the price of coal was falling steadily. And this was because everybody was trying to stop using coal, and so demand was starting to fall away. So the average price of coal over the last 5 years or so was trading somewhere in the region of $80. Now, if we look at what's happened over the last 12 months, the price on the 24th of February, which was the day that the Russian invasion started, was $231. And after the invasion, we saw the price jump to above $400 per ton. Now that's come down since, but is still trading above $300 per ton. And when you compare that to the five-year average of $80, we're looking at a 400% increase compared to the price today. But even if the price comes back to where it was on the 24th of February of $182, or drops to where we were at the end of 2021 at around $160, it still represents a huge increase compared to where we were historically. And the problem that we've got here is that a lot of countries are using coal to produce electricity. So if you've had a doubling or a trebling or a quadrupling of your cost, then that will feed through into the price of electricity and therefore will hit all the budgets and will have a big impact on the economy. Wheat is a really important part of the food chain. And if you're not familiar with what wheat is, it's used to create flour. And flour is the basic ingredient that's used in noodles and pasta and bread and a variety of other products. So it's the basic raw material for creating a lot of food all around the world. And a lot of countries are dependent on wheat. It is produced in massive volumes and it's exported all around the world. And Russia and Ukraine are two of the largest exporters of wheat globally. So what's happening in Ukraine right now is really concerning for the food chain, because if we lose all of Ukraine's crop this year and Russia is embargoed, so nobody wants to deal with them because of the sanctions, we will see a shortage in supplies, and that has driven up the price of wheat quite dramatically. And we've got some concerns in countries that are very dependent on wheat. So Egypt imports over 80% of all of its wheat, and it's used by all households on a daily basis. And so there is a real concern in Egypt right now that firstly, they're going to have shortages, and secondly, it's going to cause an economic crisis because a lot of the population are below the breadline, so to speak, no pun intended. And if we have an increase in the price of flour, then that's going to push people to breaking point. So if we have a look at the five-year chart, we can see that the price of wheat was moving around, but up until the start of the pandemic, the average price was trading at around about $500 per bushel. As we started to come out of the pandemic in 2020, the price did start to increase quite rapidly. And this time last year was trading at around about $580 per bushel. Now, on the 21st of February, before the Russian invasion started, the price had jumped to closer to $800 per bushel. Now, after the invasion, the price shot up to above $1,200 per bushel and is now trading somewhere in the region of $1,100. So if we jump back to the five-year view and remind ourselves that the longer-term average was somewhere in the region of $500 per bushel, the current level is more than double that price. But even if we see a return to where we were before this invasion of somewhere in the region of 800, it still represents more than a 50% increase in the price. And the problem that we have here is that this is a very, very basic raw ingredient for everybody's everyday life. So a 50% increase in the price of something that you have to buy every single day, whether you're rich or poor, is going to have a disproportionate impact on the people with lower incomes, and it will hit society hard. So the new price levels that have been set over the last 12 to 18 months are going to cause major problems for a lot of economies all around the world. So it doesn't matter about the huge spike. Obviously, If prices did stay above $1,000 per bushel, then we would see more than a doubling of price. So that is a concern because two of the biggest producers in the world are currently in a conflict right now. But even if prices do come back to where we were before this conflict started, it will definitely have implications on the global economy. Iron ore is the basic raw ingredient to make steel. 98% of all iron ore that's extracted from the ground is used to make steel. And steel is strong and long-lasting and is used in construction and a variety of manufacturing processes all around the world. So iron ore is an important part of the industrial world. Now, if I start off by looking at the 12-month position for iron ore, you may think that there's no problem here because 12 months ago, iron ore was trading for around about $150 per tonne. And as we saw everybody coming out of lockdowns and demand starting to rise and construction starting all over the world, we saw the price rise to above $230 per tonne. But in 2021, we saw a significant fall in the price of iron ore, and it was trading for less than $80 per tonne in November 2021. Now, the price has risen steadily since that time and is now trading somewhere in the region of $140 per tonne. If we now switch to the five-year view, you can see that over the last 5 years, the average price for iron ore has been somewhere in the region of $85 to $90. So the current level of $140 is significantly higher than the long-term average. And if I just jump back to what's been happening over the last 12 months, you can see that for the vast majority of the last year, the price has been trading significantly higher than $85. In fact, there's only been a very brief period where it was back down to that level. So the takeaway here is that the current levels are significantly higher than what we've seen over the last 5 years. And that means that anybody that uses steel in their processes or their manufacturing has seen a huge increase in the cost of that steel. So at the current level, we're looking at about a 60% increase on the long-term average. And a 60% increase at a basic manufacturing level will feed through into the final finished product price for all goods that have steel within them. So this will have a direct impact into the economy. And this is another reason why inflation is rising so rapidly all around the world. Because when you've got your basic raw materials increasing by 50%, that has a disproportionate impact. It will mean that the end product will be much higher, especially in items that have a lot of metal and steel within them. So the takeaway for iron ore is that over the last 12 months, we have seen a dramatic increase in the price of this raw material, and it's on the rise again, and that is bad news for the global economy. Lumber or timber or wood, to keep it very simple, is something that is used on a wide-scale basis in construction. So the price of timber generally has a direct relationship to what's happening in construction and the demand for the product. If we look at what's happened over the last 12 months in the price of lumber, you can see that 12 months ago, we're looking at a price of around about $1,400. And the price fell sharply through to September 2021 and hit a low point of around about $625. Now, since that period, the price has started moving back up again and is currently trading somewhere in the region of $1,200. If we switch to the five-year chart, you can see that over the last 5 years, the average price of lumber has been somewhere below $500. So the current level of $1,200 is significantly higher than the long-term average. And if we look at where the price was on the 1st of February, which was the low point in recent times, it was sitting at $870. Now, this is before the invasion started and prices started to take off again. But even at $870, that is more than a 50% increase on the long-term average. So what we're seeing here is a long-term increase in price of something that is a very basic material that's needed in all construction. So even if prices come back down from where they are right now, even if we see another $400 fall from $1,200 to $800, that still represents a significant increase on the long-term price. And therefore, that will feed through into the price of all goods that use wood and therefore will feed into the economy. So again, this is another reason why we're seeing high levels of inflation all around the world. So this medium-term increase in the price is definitely going to hurt the global economy. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, the purpose of this video was really to take a step back from what we're seeing on a daily basis, the news reports that you're seeing talking about the percentage movement in the price of oil and those sort of things. What I wanted to do here is talk about why we've got huge levels of inflation all around the world and why a lot of economies are now starting to struggle and are at breaking point. Because we have seen a long-term movement in the price of a lot of commodities, it's fed through into the price of finished goods and the price of energy and the price of everything in the world. So that's why we've seen prices going up so dramatically. And it's really difficult to be able to fix this. So when we've talked about inflation on other videos, the traditional way of solving inflation is to increase interest rates. And we've already started to see that in some countries. So the US has recently increased its interest rate. The UK has had 3 interest rate increases over the last few months. New Zealand has also introduced a number of interest rate increases, as have Canada and a variety of other countries across Europe. So the theory is that when you increase interest rates, people have less money because the cost of their debt, their mortgages and any loans that they have go up, and therefore they spend less. That reduces demand and therefore the prices come back down. The problem that we've got here is that one of the reasons that prices are going up is that the global price of commodities is rising dramatically. So the charts that I've just shown you in this video show that we've seen massive increases in the price of oil and natural gas and coal and wheat and iron ore and lumber. And the percentage increases that we're talking about for all of those commodities are in the hundreds of percent. So it's not going up by 5 or 10%, which is what a lot of the inflation figures we're looking at are saying. It's doubling or trebling. And those sort of movements have a massive impact on everybody because these are the basic essentials of life. You need heating. You need to be able to cook things. You need to eat. So you can't cut back and avoid this expenditure just because somebody has increased the interest rates in your country. It's just not feasible to do that. So I think we're not solving the problem by moving interest rates. The fundamental problem here is the movement in the commodity prices themselves. And that's something that's very difficult to fix. And what's happening right now in Ukraine is going to cause even more problems because Russia is one of the world's biggest suppliers of a lot of these commodities. So taking Russia out of the global supply chain is going to result in price increases on a medium-term basis. We might be able to source more oil from other countries or more wheat or natural gas, but it will take time to be able to do that. And in the short term, it's going to be more expensive. So the outcome of the conflict in Ukraine right now is that it's likely that the extremely high prices that I showed you over the last few months will remain in place for at least the next 3 to 6 months. So that's going to drive up inflation even more, and increasing interest rates is going to cause major problems. All it's going to do is give people less disposable income and they'll still be facing higher prices. And when you've got a situation like that, you're at real risk of hitting recession because people don't have enough money, they can't spend. Companies start to get into difficulty because they're not able to sell as many items, and so we could see redundancies. So it's very possible that we could see a recession at the end of 2022 that's caused by what's happening right now. And the Russian invasion of Ukraine has made things a whole lot worse. That has just put fly in the ointment in terms of trying to solve the problems post-pandemic. Everybody was trying to get inflation back down to acceptable levels. And what's happened is that the inflation is now going to go even higher over the next 3 to 6 months. So we've got a real problem here, and it's not something that we can fix easily. And these commodity prices are really fueling price increases all across the world and could be the black swan event that causes the big financial global recession that we're expecting to come at some point over the next 12 months or so. So once again, I'm sorry that I'm delivering negative news. I haven't got any gags. I can't tell you any jokes within this video because it's not really appropriate. But I'm just telling you the situation as it is. And I think taking a step back and looking at what's happened with commodity prices is a really important part of the jigsaw. And it's easy to get carried away with what's happening on a daily or a weekly basis with oil prices and natural gas. What you need to do is look at what's happening over the medium term, and that tells you why we're all in big trouble right now. So if you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up. And if you'd like to see more videos like this, then please subscribe to the channel.